This is Radio Energy News.
Hello and welcome to EN4 News. I'm Jess McFadden. It's currently 4:30 and here are today's top stories. The debate on fracking is heating up at the Scottish Parliament today as protesters gather outside Holyrood to show their support for the ban. Lee Dalgetty reports.
MSPs will come to a decision today on the ban of fracking in Scotland. The debate that began at 2:30pm today has only one opposing party, the Conservatives. Many organisations have voiced their support for the ban, raising concerns about the impact of fracking on health and the environment. Opposing parties have highlighted the economic benefits. Friends of the Other Scotland staged a rally this afternoon ahead of the debate. Head of campaigns Murray Church said the Scottish Government's plan to ban fracking is fantastic news for communities and the environment. Protesters gathered outside Parliament, keen to get their message across.
Today, I would say it's a victory, and I think this is, we can't be complacent. We never know what's coming in the future. Give a change in government that might overturn this position, but I think today we've got to celebrate the fact that most people in Scotland are against fracking.
So I'm here as part of our force, which are part of the kind of broad alliance. We've been campaigning against unconventional gas to ourselves, alongside a whole heap of other stuff, people, for the last 5 years or so, and we're here today to witness, potentially take part in, to protest, raise the profile for that, the debate in the Scottish Parliament.
First Minister Nicola Sturgeon has accused members of opposing parties of dancing on the head of a pin, saying fracking is being banned in Scotland, end of story. There will be no fracking in Scotland, and that position could not be clearer. Lothian Tory MSP Gordon Lyndhurst told us why he isn't backing the ban.
Well, I think there's potentially a number of consequences. I mean, I think fracking itself, provided it's properly regulated and controlled, could provide an opportunity, for example, as a better, environmentally speaking, opportunity to move to a more renewable friendly energy supply for Scotland.
Opinions on fracking are clearly divided, but we'll know the ultimate decision very soon.
There's further uncertainty over the ongoing political crisis in Catalonia, with the Spanish Justice Minister saying today that regional elections won't solve the problem. Rafael Catala says a local government must clarify whether it has declared independence after Charles Puigdemont, the regional president, gave a confusing speech 2 weeks ago in the wake of a disputed referendum on independence. This comes as the Spanish Senate is due to vote to implement direct rule on Catalonia. Our reporter Colin Campbell has more.
The streets of Catalonia earlier this month where Spanish police violently obstructed voters and protesters during the referendum that took place on the 1st of October. The latest twist in the tale is the increasing possibility of the Spanish government imposing direct rule in Catalonia, with control going back to Madrid. Catalan watcher Professor Michael Keating has gone as far to say that direct rule seems inevitable.
What they certainly could do are give orders to the Catalan administration. It depends on then whether the Catalan administrators will obey the laws of the central government. And a particularly sensitive one is the police, because it would give them powers to take over control of the Catalan police force, the Mossos d'Esquadra, but that could prove very difficult.
Whilst the situation persists, the European Commission has been accused of having a hands-off approach to the crisis in the region. SNP MSP Dougie Chapman is amongst a number of politicians who observed the October 1st vote. He feels that Europe is failing to address the issues on its doorstep.
It's really, really frustrating that the EU have not made any comment about, particularly about the violence and intimidation that was very, very evident on the 1st of October. Although the people involved in the struggle for independence are Catalans, they're also European citizens. And I think it's up to the European Commission to make a strong statement about the level of violence that took place and actually act as some sort of peacemaker and go-between the two sides to make sure that a resolution can be found.
In the midst of political unrest, the Catalan people are angered. We spoke with Barcelona resident Rosa Villapana, who feels overlooked by the rest of Europe.
Anyone who supports their actions of violence or any violation of our rights or our elected diplomats and people in the government, to us is seen as someone who actually is fake and doesn't like freedom of their own people.
The Spanish Senate will meet this Friday to vote on imposing direct rule, whilst the Catalan Parliament will meet this Thursday to decide what course of action to take next. Whatever happens, it will have a drastic impact on the region.
You're listening to EN4 News, it's 4:35. Today, the Scottish Government have released a plan to introduce a new initiative aimed at supporting the deaf. Reporter Megan Fletcher examines how the proposal will affect British Sign Language users.
Today, the Scottish Government have announced British Sign Language national plans. It is estimated that there are over 1 million people living in Scotland with some degree of hearing problems. I spoke with Janice MacDonald, the chief officer from the Scottish Council on Deafness.
The plan announced today is specifically targeting deaf people who use BSL, potentially as a first or preferred language.
It is hoped that these plans will help tackle difficulties faced by those with hearing problems.
There's an understanding that's come through that deaf people face a lot of barriers to access and to enjoying life. So the plan covers a number of different areas where people would be expected to enjoy life, and the intention would be to reduce those barriers. If you're a deaf student and you want to phone about your higher education, you want to do something about your grant or whatever, most of those services are all telephone driven and it's very difficult to get access otherwise.
The Royal Conservatoire of Scotland currently offers the only degree available for deaf performers in the UK. I interviewed Claire Lamont, who is head of BA Performance and BSL in English.
Well, I think we've been, you know, we've had 2 years now, over 2 years of having the students in the conservatoire, and it's really, really changed and kind of enriched the work that happens in the building. We're really excited that this plan is being launched today. Again, it's the first in the UK, similar to our course, and that other institutions and organisations are going to kind of experience the joy that we've been experiencing over the last few years of how exciting it is to be working with both of those languages and incorporating that into the kind of life of RCS.
The announced plans set out to carry 10 long-term goals to do with daily life in the next 6 years, however propose to carry out 70 actions in the next 3 years.
With one in every three fish caught for human consumption now containing plastic, small efforts are taking place around the country to lower the amount of rubbish found in the sea. This month, a surfing charity are providing equipment for local charities to tidy up their coastline, help marine wildlife and aid the environment. Shan Trainer has more.
This week, Edinburgh's beaches are getting a clean up, and a team of volunteers have come together from around the city to challenge the amount of plastic pollution at Cramond and Portobello. Master student Morven Sneddon organised the event through the charity Surfers Against Sewage and is passionate about the issue of plastic in our oceans.
For human health, it's really bad that there's all this plastic because we're consuming it as well as the fish. And I really think people need to start becoming more aware of this plastic and think about when they're using it, but also after they've used it, where it's ending up. And most of it is ending up in either landfills or in the ocean.
The events were organised online for anyone to come and help out. Blair Dick, an avid surfer in the area, was one of the volunteers who is fully aware of where our litter ends up.
A lot of it, you know, ends up in where we're surfing or on beaches where, you know, there's dogs or people or children.
Although plastic pollution is a larger problem in Mediterranean countries, Morven explained littering affects Scotland just as much.
So if you look around us right now, you can't really see much litter, but up on the other side, just walking maybe 50 metres from the car park, you start to pick out the litter, and especially if you're looking for it, you do see it. So I think Scotland maybe isn't as bad as other parts of the world, but it definitely is a problem and it's going to become a bigger problem in the future.
By 2050, it's predicted that there will be more plastic in the sea than fish, and volunteer Nick Georgiou had some suggestions on how to combat this problem.
I think the main thing is increasing awareness on the beaches, so maybe having signs of the life cycle of the plastic that you might throw away into the beach, so showing that the fish eats it and then you eat the fish, so that makes you think. And also putting a few more bins. I've noticed there's not that many recycling bins alongside the Cramond Beach here, or generally in quite a few locations.
With over 50 beach cleans taking place in Scotland this year, it's clear that plastic pollution is an issue that will keep washing up on our shores for the foreseeable future.
In other news, A 36-year-old man has been arrested after a house was surrounded by armed police following reports that a man was inside with a crossbow. Flames were seen coming from the roof of the property in Blantyre shortly before the arrest was made. A loyal husband who killed his wife in what he called a final act of love has been jailed at Edinburgh High Court today for 3 years and 4 months. Ian Gordon, aged 67, smothered his wife Patricia, aged 63, with a pillow in their home in Troon last year. Police have announced that 2 men have been charged with the murder of 44-year-old Mark Squires. The incident took place in Edinburgh on Sunday and is being classed as a random attack. The 2 men, aged 21 and 23, are being held in custody pending an appearance at Edinburgh Sheriff Court on Wednesday. MSPs at Holyrood are debating the Offensive Behaviour in Football Act today. Scottish Labour's James Kelly submitted a members bill to repeal the legislation last month. The committee have heard evidence that the Act does not focus enough on hate crime. MSP Ben McPherson said that reform rather than repeal would be a better option. And now over to Cameron Storer for the Sports Desk.
Thanks, Jess. And we begin this afternoon with breaking news coming from the Scottish Championship. Dundee United have parted way with their former manager, Ray McKinnon, after a poor start to the season. For more, head online at en4news.com. In other news, the Edinburgh Derby returns tonight for the first time this season. Hibs and Hearts will match off at Easter Road in the club's first top-flight matchup in 3 years. Hibs are undefeated in the last 7 Edinburgh Derbies. However, Hearts boss Craig Levein has lost just 6 of 52 games against their arch rivals. We spoke to some fans ahead of tonight's bitter clash.
It's in Hearts' favour, definitely in Hearts' favour.
I think it'll be a right hard physical match.
It'll not be easy on the eye, I don't think. In my personal opinion, if I was a betting man, I'd put a nothing-nothing draw.
Either 2-0 or 3-1.
Perhaps.
2-0 for Hibs.
What makes you so confident?
Because I'm a heavy.
2015 World Snooker Champion Stuart Bingham has been banned from the sport for 6 months after breaking betting rules. Three months of his six-month ban have been suspended, however. He can appeal, but as things stand, he can't play again until the 26th of January next year, meaning he'll miss the UK Championship and the Masters. Celtic won the FIFA Fans Award last night for the club's 50th anniversary tribute to the 1967 Lisbon Lions. This was followed by Cristiano Ronaldo's successful defence of the FIFA Player of the Year trophy. It is the fifth time he has won the award. Scotland Rugby Union head coach Gregor Townsend has named 10 uncapped players and a 36-man squad for the Autumn Internationals. There's no place for Edinburgh flanker John Hardy, however, who's been suspended by club and country following reports of alleged cocaine use. Scotland take on Samoa, New Zealand and Australia next month. Sticking with Scotland, Scottish women's football head coach Shelley Kerr wants her side to be more clinical in their Women's World Cup qualifier against Albania tonight. It is the Scots' second game in the qualifying group as they look to build on their 2-1 win over Belarus last Thursday evening. We spoke to Scotland Girls and Women's Football Development Officer Joanne Murphy for comments on the campaign.
I think we've got quite a good chance of qualifying. It's quite tough because only one, the top of the group, qualifies automatically for the World Cup. If you're looking at it based on the world rankings, it would probably be Switzerland. But Shelley's brought in a couple of new players that maybe haven't got caps before and just a little bit of a freshen up. We had a good result on Thursday against Belarus, so I think we should be confident going into the game tonight that we should get the 3 points.
And you can go along tonight for free to support the women's national side at St Mirren's Park. It's an 8:30 kickoff. That's all from me. For more, including the updates on the latest from Dundee United, visit us online at en4news.com. Jess?
Thank you, Cameron. And finally, the Central Library in Edinburgh is marking the 20th anniversary of Harry Potter with an exhibition displaying rare artefacts related to the popular wizard. Reporter Cameron Ward visited the exhibit and investigated the connection between Pottermania and Edinburgh.
A sound we have all come to recognise, but it's been 2 decades since Harry Potter first cast a spell on our imagination. To commemorate the anniversary, the Central Library in Edinburgh is displaying a variety of unique Potter memorabilia. I spoke to Cleo Jones, Senior Manager of Edinburgh Libraries, to find out what us muggles can expect from the exhibit.
It started on Saturday there, and it will continue until the 28th of February. So it's quite a long time. And to keep things fresh, obviously all of the lovely treasures are there. We've got a whole series of events. So, for example, we've got magical creatures coming to Central Library. We've got magicians coming to other libraries in the city.
After hearing that, I couldn't resist going to the Central Library to have a look myself. In the exhibit there are rare books, manuscripts and magical objects that have been collected by the British Library and put on display across the UK. There's also personal artefacts from J.K. Rowling's private collection. After 20 years, Harry Potter continues to enchant the city of Edinburgh. The franchise is very much rooted in this historical city. I went down Edinburgh's Victoria Street, believed to be J.K. Rowling's inspiration for Diagon Alley, and stumbled upon a Harry Potter fan shop. I spoke to assistant manager Josie about Edinburgh's popularity with the boy who lived.
So you've got all generations, you've got like the young kids that have just started reading Harry Potter, it's a whole new generation that are into it. And then you've got like grandparents and parents. So everyone's really excited, it's quite lovely to see. But they're obviously, because they're seeing that there's this inspiration behind Diagon Alley, and they're just so excited to come in and see all the different merchandise.
But what is it about the heroic wizard that keeps fans so interested?
I got into the books when I was a kid, and so I just sort of read through all of them, watched all the films, and it's just the magical side of it, I suppose.
It's just something that you trust in from your childhood, and every time you go back to it, you feel like a kid again.
Whether it's the books or the films, old or young, Harry Potter will continue to marvel generations to come.
And that's all from EN4 News today. Keep up to date at www.en4news.com and on Twitter at EN4 News.